probably notice on this podcast that we talk a lot about organic growth strategies. Growth strategies that don't require any money to grow your audience, whether for your podcast or for your business. Even though if you are an OG on this podcast and you've listened to episode 12, where I talk about my traffic pyramid strategy, you know that I mentioned paid ads as the fourth tier of the pyramid to getting traffic. And it has been by design that we did this, that we have not really talked about leveraging paid ads yet on this podcast. And that is for two reasons. One, because unless you have quite a bit of cash, leveraging paid ads is not where I would go as the first, second, or even third strategy to grow an audience. I did that once and boy, did it leave me heavily in the red. I was in debt with an audience that did not end up being the right one. And so I don't want to open that loop for you too. Okay, that's the first reason. And the second reason is that when we rebranded this podcast to Win the Content Game, the whole premise and the promise of this podcast is that we were only going to talk about the things that we could confidently implement as well, so that we can actually do the things with you and we can grow together. And that's why the strategies that we share on this podcast now is via a three-part series, so that we can actually talk about how we've been implementing each of these strategies as well. And if I'm going to be honest, paid ads was just not something that we could focus on with all of the other marketing strategies that we're implementing as well. But then I met Dennis Yu from Blitzmetrics, who told me about his dollar a day strategy, ad strategy. And I realized how simple this could be. How simply and cost effectively too, that we can start scaling our organic content and get it in front of the right people in only a dollar a day. And so I knew straight away that if this was something that we could implement, then you can too. Yep, I know. We here, we're the low bar, okay? So you're aiming higher than us, but we are the low bar. So in this next mini series of Win the Content Game, we're going to be diving deep into how you can build your audience of the right people, leveraging your organic content and only a dollar a day. Dennis Yu is going to take us through his four-stage content factory, which will lead into why his dollar a day ad strategy is just so effective. My name is Deidre Shen. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Capsho, the fastest way to create content that gets you clients. And this is Win the Content Game. Welcome, Dennis. So excited to have you on. We're going to get straight into it because this is all about, let's give the value, teach people what it is that they need to do to be found, to be discovered, and to actually grow their audience and their brands. And there is no one better in the world, I believe, than you. So I am so excited for this. Let's get into the four stages of the Content Factory. And if you wouldn't mind, I would love for you to take us back around like how it is that you actually came up with this. But I very quickly want to get into, let's just learn how to do it and why we need to be doing this.
I love implementing and teaching from direct example. So I would love to look at Capsho and show you real data, show it's actually working, show what is ranking on Google and what isn't and why, and then talk about how using this four-stage process works for anyone, especially any business. Okay?
Let's do it. This is going to be awesome.
I'm going to share my screen here. And can you see this now?
Yep. It's right there.
Looks like a great website. Fastest way to create content, gets more clients. You've got a lot of podcast episodes. A lot of these are friends of mine. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I can see you've got a lot of authority. Domain rating 42, which comes from these links that come to the site. So Google is a voting mechanism. So they're looking for trust signals. So when I can see that there's other sites that are linking to you, that are talking about you, that's a vote of trust. And anytime you get a review, anytime someone watches a video, anytime someone clicks like on Facebook, all of these are votes, if you will, right? Everything's a vote. Just some votes carry more weight than other votes, which is kind of like what this domain rating is. So it's not like how many followers you have, because that's still kind of like a vote, right? So all of this stuff, AI for podcasts, they're linking on your name. And if I do the same thing on your personal brand and I see what the links are, then I see that you've been featured here in Women in Podcasting, right? I see other places that you have been featured or other people that are talking about you. So from Google's standpoint, they're seeing, they're asking like, who's Deidre? Who is Capshow? And if people are doing searches, what keywords should you rank for? What makes sense? Well, they're saying, of course, 800 people a month are searching for Capshow. Low keyword difficulty of zero. And you're ranking number one on your name. Of course, it makes sense. And it's your homepage that's ranking. This makes sense so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the next most common thing is people want to know Capshow pricing. That makes sense. So then it links to your pricing page. Also, keyword difficulty of zero. No one's going to outrank you because it's your own name, right?
Mm, yeah.
And then here, podcast show notes examples. So Google say when people are looking for examples of how to do show notes for your podcast, you are number 14. You moved up from 16 to 14. In fact, you've been moving up. You see all these greens where you've moved up? You moved up 17 spots on show notes, which is still pretty easy. It's green. Mm-hmm. But why do you think, Deidre, that when people are looking on at like, how do I write show notes for my podcast? Why does Google think that your blog here deserves to rank on that?
Is it because of the backlinks, the authority score you mentioned before?
That's a good part of it, because that's what Google thinks that you're about, because you've said a lot of stuff about podcasting and you actually, here's the key point. You actually do the thing you say you do.
Mm.
You actually have real experience. We're doing a podcast right now. You're living and breathing it. You're not just giving advice on podcasts. So most people using ChatGPT or whatever their tool is, they would say, hey, write me an article about the 10 best tips on how to have a successful podcast. And the AI would go, right? You're actually doing it, which satisfies Google standards, EEAT, experience, expertise, authority, trust. You actually show real experience doing the thing that you do. You actually do these things, these best practices, you actually do them.
Yes.
And so Google can see that you, and this goes back to what you're talking about in your whole three-stage thing where teach it, then do it, then kind of like review it.
Yes, yes.
I'm a big believer in that because we're looking, we're not just talking theoretically, we're looking at your thing. What are show notes? How to write podcast show notes? Do you see all of these different things? How to create show notes for a podcast? These are all different variations of searches. There's 70 people searching per month, podcast best practices.
Yes. And by the way, anyone listening to the audio version of this, we're going to have the video. So you can see Dennis is sharing his screen right now. You're going to see this on our YouTube channel and we'll link it in the show notes as well. So you can see exactly what it is that he's pointing to.
So let me show you something else. So even though a lot of you guys are just listening, what we're doing is we're looking at how Deidre practices what she preaches in her podcast. And so the podcast is a great way to rank on people's names and on the topic that you want to talk about. So she's talking about, you know, repurposing. She's interviewing these other people like Molly Mahoney's a good friend of mine. So this first phase, produce. So you made a podcast episode with Molly. You podcast episode with me, Squadcast, you know, whatever, Zoom, in person. Mm-hmm. There's different ways of making content, right? You
yes.
put it in a Dropbox, Google Drive. There's lots of ways of making content, right? So this is here. This is what most podcasters do. They're so excited about recording the content and then they do some kind of processing, you know, Premiere Pro, they have a VA, they use Descript, my favorite tool. There's all these AI tools that will chop up your podcast and that kind of thing. There's agencies that will do it, all sorts
and
of ways.
And Capshow, of course, as well, to help put it onto different platforms. Yep.
Yeah. So you can use Capshow and other tools to then put it on these different platforms. But if we don't put it on the website and have that website link back to the Spotify and Apple Podcasts and the YouTube and the Twitter, and if we don't link it back, if we don't use the website as the central place to be visible and we rely upon the podcasting channels themselves, we're not going to be Googleable. So when you do write show notes, so I think of it this way. So you take the podcast episode and there's a transcript, the words, but the words need to be massaged into the show notes, right? But then the show notes are not the same as having an article, which is another layer of refinement. So then if we actually publish it into an article as well, now we have multiple forms of the content that can rank, because maybe in a podcast episode, there's like two or three key themes and that can be two or three different articles, but the show notes would be just to the podcast episode, right? So the show notes are not the same as the article. Right?
Yes.
And then dollar a day is when we take a snippet using Capshow and publish it in different ways. We can run dollar a day against it. And I can do it on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So I'm just going to take this Facebook. So I'm going to go ahead and break my rules just because I know you're not supposed to do that. I'm going to break a rule here, but I'm going to say this. I'm making a post here, right? I'm proving by example, okay?
Again, anyone listening to this, Dennis has X open and he is doing a post right now. He is literally showing us these. I'm assuming you're showing us the dollar a day ad strategy right now. Okay, cool.
Actually,
so he's creating a post inside of X. This is terrible. I'm not big on X, as in I don't really have a presence on X because we've just decided to focus on Facebook and LinkedIn.
That's fine. But the dollar a day applies on any channel. I just happen to, Twitter happens to be my favorite one to play with right now.
Okay. So I think I still have my account. So it should just be Deirdre, D-E-I-R-D-R-E.
D-E-I-R-D-R-E.
Yeah.
T-S-H-I-N?
S-H-I-E-N.
S-H-I-E-N. Can't even spell.
I before E except after D is how.
Cap show. Do you have a cap show? Is that not on Twitter?
No, but try my name, Deirdre Shens, because I might have my personal account on.
Okay. See, it's always the mechanical things like this.
Am I on there?
Is that it? No, I don't see it.
Did it come up? No.
Cap show are showing how to rule on podcasts. So then I'm pasting this Facebook link here, this video. Okay.
Okay.
And now I just made a tweet, right? And if I look at my profile, you'll see this tweet shows up here, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what I can do with dollar a day is, let's say this is, you know, in a podcast, usually there's like three or four compelling aha sorts of points you want to pull out. And if I do things well, I should rank on that person's name when I write the show notes, but I can also promote this. And I'm going to spend how much money?
A dollar a day?
A dollar a day. So here they're trying to make me spend $100 a day, which is ridiculous. And I'm doing a dollar a day to test for a week. So I'm spending $7, right?
Okay.
And then I am choosing follower lookalikes. So if I look at Cap Show, this is not the same one, but who's like a competitor? Who's someone that's in your
competitor
in your, or person? Who's someone that you follow that's very closely related to Cap Show?
Well, I mean, you could even use Descript, for example, because like we have a very similar audience. So we don't do the same thing, but very similar audience.
So here's Descript. So here's the 24,000 people that follow Descript. Mm-hmm. So now anyone who follows Descript can see what we're talking about with Cap Show. And that's relevant. And people would see this not as an ad, but as a recommendation, right?
Okay.
And now if I put in Descript, now it's looking at all these other sorts of tools that are related to this. Page and copy. So I could choose any of these, auto.ai, you want to transcribe the thing, right? All these things are here because it's doing a lookalike. People that are like Descript also do this other stuff. And then I choose the tweet that I just made. I know Twitter makes it hard to see, but here's this one, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm done. Now I've made a dollar a day ad targeting fans of Descript to see a particular tweet that I just made. And boom, there it is.
Wow.
Now let's recap so people understand in the four-stage content factory. Most podcasters are so caught up in the technology and the scheduling and whatever that it's just hard enough to even produce the podcast, right?
Yes.
In phase one. Then using CapShow or Descript or a VA or whatever to process it. It can then live in many places. I think everyone understands that, right? But what they don't understand is that several things. A, you still should write an article about that podcast episode, which the show notes is not the same thing as an article, right? And that article will rank on that guest's name if you do it right. It's rank on your name too. And then
when you say, sorry, Dennis, when you say article, do you mean kind of like a blog post?
A blog post is an article, the same thing. Yep.
Great. Okay. Awesome. Yep.
So now you've taken it and you've posted it to multiple places, multiple podcast platforms, multiple social medias, your website, right? Everyone understands that, right? That's what people define as repurposing. But then here's the thing. And if you make it to phase three, which most people don't, but then you got to go to phase four, which is if it's on Facebook and LinkedIn and the website and Twitter and wherever it is, you can boost it for a dollar a day to the exact audience that you want. People who have a certain job title, people who use a related tool, people who are members of a certain association or read a magazine or follow this particular person, who needs to see this content. So I'm basically overriding the newsfeed of Facebook or LinkedIn or TikTok. I'm thinking like, who should, I'm trying to force it into the newsfeed, not in like a bad way, but
yeah.
If you look at these boosts that I've done, check this out. So this just launched, so it's not gotten any impressions or whatnot, but you can see here that I've done all these different posts, spent a few thousand dollars. And what I'm looking for is the engagement rate. You see the, sorry for the people that are listening, but over here, you see this last column here for engagement rate?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What is the typical engagement rate when you run an ad? Like what percent of people click on it?
Oh, for example? Gosh, it's been so long since I've run ads. So not very much.
Yeah, like 0.1%.
Yeah.
Terrible. And if you get 1%, that's usually pretty good for ads. So here's 2%, 1%, 2%, 4.8%. 25%.
Wow. Okay.
And it's not just because it was like out of four, I got one click, right? And here, like 2%, 4%, 0.1%, 1%, 18%. So why, how am I able to all of a sudden get like 18% or 20% or whatever it is? It's because my targeting is exactly in line. So if you're a podcaster, so I interview John Jonas, who's the founder of onlinejobs.ph on how do you hire a VA? And then mm-hmm. I target John Jonas. So people who are followers of John Jonas see a thumbnail of me and John Jonas. How relevant is that? It's super relevant. So of course I'm going to get a 25% click-through rate, right?
Yes.
Or any guest that you interview, if they're big enough, and I like to interview people who are, you know, when you're getting started, maybe you interview like random people, but at a certain point you start to interview people who are well-known, they have an audience. And so when you target that audience, they want to consume, like I've made videos with Grant Cardone. So I target Grant Cardone or me and Jake Paul or me and, you know, whatever it is. So it just natural. And if the podcast was good and you're a good podcast host and you ask good questions and it was like a good episode, then of course people are going to want to click on it and they watch the video and they click through to go to your website and they sign up for your programs or put in their email address or do whatever it is. You don't even have to sell anything. But just if people are spending time engaging on your content, do you think, Deirdre, that Google sees that and uses that as a signal?
100%.
Then why don't we boost posts to generate more signal?
That is genius.
And then I asked the head of search quality at Google. He won't say it on record because Google doesn't get in trouble. But yeah. I asked, do you think that podcast episodes with me and so-and-so, I have all this stuff of me interviewing so-and-so or being on other people's podcasts. If I run ads against it and that drives real engagement, does the fact that it's being paid hurt me in any way? In other words, can I use ads to impact my SEO? And the answer is yes.
Wow.
And if you think about it, it really makes sense because I'm not using it as an ad. So here's something that I, you know, posted 10 hours ago, you can see on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And 161 people, including people who are well-known. Look at the people who are engaging. These are people who are well known in the world of digital marketing. It wasn't just that I got, you know, 1,000 likes from the Philippines, okay?
Yeah.
These are people who are authoritative in the space. And if you look at the comments are quality. So Google takes this into account. Facebook takes this into account. If you boost here in stage four of the content factory appropriately, and it drives real engagement, meaningful engagement from people that are respected in your industry, of course that's going to help your SEO. Of course, that's going to help on social. So you can use ads. You can use social media content that you boost to impact your SEO. How's that? And then like, get a knowledge panel, right? Look.
Actually genius.
if you look me up, you see this, all these colored boxes.
Mm-hmm.
This is called a knowledge panel. And I'd ask you, where does my knowledge panel? And so you can see there's all this other stuff here. I'm like Neil Patel and Mari Smith and all these other people. There's all this information, the books, people also ask videos, all this stuff, right? All this information about me, which you as a podcaster should have, but most of you don't. Look, I'm 49 years old. I'm the best-selling author of this book. There's all, like you see, isn't it more authoritative? Because people are going to look you up, right? They're going to look up your guests. And if this pops up, isn't this better? It's called a knowledge panel. Well, wouldn't you want that?
Yeah.
And yes. If you are a podcast host, you should be able to trigger a knowledge panel like this. And the way you do it is you take the episodes of you and your guests, produce the show notes or whatnot, mm-hmm. and then boost for $1 a day against those guests, against the company they work at, against the associations and conferences that you speak at or they speak at to build your authority. If you actually did a good job in that podcast, the biggest issue I see with podcasts is that they don't get any visibility because they just expect the stuff to, you know, to go out there and be seen by millions. And it just doesn't happen like that. You're not Joe Rogan, you know?
No. Okay. This is Gene. I want to backtrack a little bit because I want to really break this down. So what is your advice around most people have a weekly podcast? So when they drop the weekly podcast, is there a certain sequence that we, in terms of from a timing perspective, that we need to follow? So let's say they publish a podcast on Tuesday. Would you say it is best practice to do a post on the Tuesday and then to boost it straight away? Or would you say, look, give it a little bit of time and then, you know, do the post and boost it? What's your advice around the timing of how to actually implement this strategy?
So if you are a big podcaster with a big audience, then timing matters even more because people come to expect that every Tuesday morning and, you know, they expect the whole flow. Kind of like you have to send out emails regularly, otherwise the list goes stale. It's the same thing, right? People expect the distribution. You're a newspaper channel. You're a YouTuber. You have to publish every Thursday is when the new episode comes out. So yes, that's true. And if that's true, if you're a big channel and you are publishing at that frequency, then you should also boost at that same frequency. Now, people will ask, well, do I boost it right away? Because if I do, that cannibalizes my organic a little bit. Like if I'm getting it organically on Facebook, why would I boost it too? Because then I'm, you know, eating what I would have gotten for free a little bit. But here's the thing about paid and this dollar a day strategy, which is a huge sigh of relief for me. You don't have to boost right away. You can wait months. And I discovered this by accident because I've hired a ton of virtual assistants from the Philippines and Pakistan. And for various reasons, a lot of people are just not very reliable, or they don't do the thing when it's supposed to be done. And it might be months till we get around to doing it. And I'm thinking, yeah, but that episode came out last year. But if it's still relevant, and it's not based on this one thing that happened that's no longer relevant, or this one sale, or this one product launch, which isn't relevant anymore. If it's people telling stories and it's evergreen, which is what real podcasts should be, you know, then we discovered by accident, I've taken posts that were 10 years old and boosted them. Like I told stories about how I started as an engineer at Yahoo, as a search engine engineer. And that's still valid today. I talked about how I became an entrepreneur. I talked about mentorship. I talked about things, you know, stories of friends of mine. And those are still valid today. The Matrix came out 25 years ago or whatever. It's still valid today, right? People still watch your favorite songs are still valid today. People still sing along. Mm. And so the beauty of Dollar a Day is it doesn't have to happen. The boosting doesn't have to happen at the same time as the, it's not like, oh, I got to boost it within like 3 days. Otherwise it's like too late. The initial publishing, yes. The boosting, no. And here's the other part, which is even more powerful. When I boost, and you saw when I was going through my ads, like here, I'll show you my Facebook. I have some of these that have done so well that I just continue to let it run. Because initially I put a dollar a day for 7 days, right? Mm-hmm. But you can see like this one here, when I'm on CNN, argue with Mark Zuckerberg or whatever, like that was, you know, everyone gets that moment of fame, right? That's awesome, right?
Yes.
And so I boosted it. And you can see here that because it was good, I just continue to put another dollar a day against it. And now I've spent, you know, a couple $1,000s. And this is what gets me on TV. This is what gets me more media appearances and speaking appearances. Because like whatever you want more of, imagine this. You have the magic lamp and you can rub it and the genie comes out and says you have the three wishes, right?
Yeah.
This is a real magic lamp. And you get more than three wishes, which is great. What is the thing that you want more of? Do you want more clients? Do you want to do more coaching? Do you want to speak more? Do you want to have more podcast guests? Do you want more people that are like this? Then publish about the thing that you want more of. Like here, I love being on national TV. So I boost this thing where I'm on CNN and the Washington Post and NPR and LA Times and Fox News. Like, you know, so if I show video of me in the headquarters of CNN studios in Atlanta, then whenever NBC News or whatever has a thing, then they see like I clearly know how to behave on TV.
Yes.
Or why won't you boost that? And then boost it to the people who work at the TV stations, boost it to the radio people, boost it to the people you're a veterinarian and you want to be better known as a veterinarian in your city or whatever it is, and you're in the city of Denver, fine, boost it to the people who work in Denver, boost it to the other veterinarians, boost it to whoever it is that you want to see doing the thing that you want to do more of, right?
Because as a podcast host,
you want to be known for something, right? You want to be known for running PPC ads, then boost against the PPC community and boost with people who are well-known in PPC or whatever the thing is you want to be known. All these posts are boostable. So I've done stage speaking. It's the last thing I'll say. Now you got something to say. Look, I was in Dubai and I love speaking in Dubai. And I brought Dan Henry on stage with me in Dubai. And I love Dan Henry. And so I can boost this post targeting Dan Henry, targeting conferences in Dubai, targeting whatever I want more. I've just boost against that thing. You can see the blue boost button
Yes.
It's right in plain sight.
This is crazy because I have been for years been told to ignore that blue booster post button.
$1 billion boosting that. A billion with a B.
This is why I'm so enjoying this conversation because I really, really like to get different perspectives, you know, because the Facebook ads gurus and, you know, they all just ignore it. You get, you know, really a subpar traffic. You get really subpar results off the back of this. But
because you don't know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing, if you have the quality content and if you're intentional about the audience and you get at least 10% on your engagement rate, that's the signal. Now, remember I was showing you these different tweets that I boosted or other, like yes. I boosted on LinkedIn. If your engagement rate is 0.13%, like you saw in one of them, how likely is that a good performer? If I only get like 1% of the people to watch the video or I only get 1% of the people to click on the thing, what is that telling me?
That, and you haven't spent money, right? This is organic?
Or paid. Either way, I'm getting 1%, right?
I mean, 1% is the threshold at least, right? For well performing, like click-through rate. Wise.
Look, here, I'm going to go back to, you like Facebook more, right? So I'm going to spend more time on Facebook. Okay, watch this. Okay. And this is like a mind-blowing kind of thing once you realize this is true. This is going to completely reframe how you think about performance. Okay, so I violate all the rules because I know the experts say you should only post once per day, or I'll post 5 times a day, or I won't post it all in a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a pinned post because it did really well. So I keep it up here at the top for obvious reasons. Then people sign up for our coaching program. Right. But then this guy here, 6 minutes ago, just posted this, just recorded an episode with Dennis about SEO and whatever. Right. And so if this does really well for Paul, he can boost that post. And if he's targeting entrepreneurs of a certain aspect, then he can boost to that audience. And if that post doesn't get 10%, I'm looking for 10%, then that means it's not relevant. Right. So let's look at this one here. All right. Let's look at, actually, let me go down a little further. All right. Here's one. So I posted this 12 hours ago at past midnight, like 1 a.m. I made this post. Right. And it's literally this. I said, authentically demonstrated relationships are the SEO superpower in an AI world of unlimited manufactured content. I just thought I'd say it. And I show pictures of me with real people because I'm authentically demonstrating that I have relationships with people, right?
Yes.
And you might look at this and say, okay, well, look, Brian Eisenberg and Leanna Ling and 39 other people liked it and I got 4 comments, right? Mm-hmm. How do I know is that good or not? Well, let's look at the insights. Most people never look at the insights, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, look, a number of people that it reached was 1,115. And you and I are agents, so we can take 10% of it. What's 10% of this?
111.
Yeah, it is. So I'm at 110. So let's just round up and call it 10%, right?
Yes.
So I hit 10% here.
This is great. So 10% engage. Yeah.
Let's move to another post.
So sorry, because of the fact that that's 10%, you would say I would put money, I would boost that because it reached 10%.
It is boostable. It doesn't mean I necessarily would boost it, but if I don't hit 10, it means it's probably not going to fly. Okay.
Got it.
Here's another one. So I was with this guy who's really well known in pest control and we're writing a book. I basically interviewed him and taking all his knowledge and putting it into a book. All right. Now let's look at the insights again and let's look at what the percentage is. So more people saw it, 4683.
Yeah.
The engagement was 395.
Yeah. So that's 10%.
It's like 8%. It's like almost there. It's like, oh, it's close. It's like good, but it's not excellent. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. But then if this actually drives my business goal, if I'm getting people to listen to this episode or click on the link or sign up for the thing I have, like do the thing I want them to do, then I might be willing to say like, 8%, that's still not bad. I'm going to try to find one that just completely sucks and show you why.
Okay. And while you're doing that, can I ask you another question while you're looking for one that sucked? The question is there...
These are all good.
I know. I was about to say, you might struggle to find one that sucked. But is there a particular type of post by way of whether it's the creative or whether it's the call to action? Like what if a post didn't have a call to action, for example? Would you not consider that a boostable post?
Do you ever have a friend where they're always asking you for money or always trying to sell you or whatever it is? Always trying to use a call to action?
Yes.
It's not natural to, like, if all your posts are all begging and asking you to do, like, that's not how you...
100% agree.
You never want to be that person, right?
No.
There's always a friend of ours that's the MLM queen and she's always pushing her thing.
Yes.
Do the call
okay,
to action,
so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you would boost a post even if there was like nothing off the bat. You're just looking for people to engage and find you. Really, this is to get discovered first and foremost.
It's even simpler than that. I'm just trying to provide value where people think this is so good. Dang, I need to share this. So this post I made here a week ago is actually perfect for you. Deirdre. Mm-hmm. Look at what I said. I used to get super frustrated when I put out a killer podcast episode but didn't get any views. And I tried fancy cameras, video editing, all these tools. Maybe I needed better guests and all this. Nope, none of that. And then what it was what I need to do is run a dollar a day against that audience. So if I'm with Roger Wakefield, I'm going to target Roger Wakefield. And Roger Wakefield is the most famous plumber in America. So then I'm targeting all the plumbers. And so when I'm with Roger Wakefield, A, it creates perceived authority because all the plumbers say, dang, that's Roger Wakefield. He's worth listening to. And so they listen to Roger Wakefield. They don't know who I am. I'm just some guy. But then they realize Roger Wakefield and I did a 2.5 hour podcast on how to do SEO for plumbers. And I'm a plumber. I follow Roger Wakefield. Then because they don't know, like, who's this Asian guy that's with Roger Wakefield? But then they quickly realize, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about, right? And I'm leveraging the trust of the person I'm with, you see? Because I'm targeting his audience. And so then I'm explaining how dollar a day works and how I do co-created content and how perceived authority is more important to drive initial attention than whether I actually am saying something worthwhile. And I am saying something worthwhile, but I need to convince people. Do you have like a favorite movie, for example? Like a movie you like?
Yes. I mean, I name do. One. Yeah, what's one that I was like going to say? But you can ask me for a name and I'm like, okay, what's a movie that I like?
Any movie. This is not a trick question.
Yeah, no. What's the latest movie? I can't say I love this movie, but I just watched it on the plane literally yesterday. It was the Mean Girls, the musical, the newest one, Mean Girls. That was the latest movie
mean
that I saw.
Mean Girls. Yeah. Here's the film, okay? So yeah. I'm not a girl. I don't know this Mean Girls thing, but here's all the people that are in Mean Girls. And here's the, I can go pay and watch the movie, right? Because I watch more movies on planes than I do, you know, whatever. And
yes,
but in order for me to decide, I'm deciding, do I want to watch Mean Girls? And I see the Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb ratings and all this, but let's say like this checks out. I'm like, you know what? This looks kind of interesting. Then what are you going to do?
Watch it.
If you're like, but I don't have like 2 hours to watch the movie. I mean, before I watch the movie, what's the thing I might do?
Well, yeah, you look it up, you look at the reviews, and then you have to figure out where to watch it.
Yeah, but you're going to watch the trailer, right?
Yes.
You're going to watch the trailer because based on the trailer, assuming it doesn't like spoil like all the key things that happen, like, oh, this is really funny. Or like, and then based on the trailer, you're like, oh, I'm going to watch it. But imagine that movie companies, they just release movies and they didn't have any trailers. What would happen?
I mean, it would suck for them.
It would suck because I'm not going to commit 2 hours to
watching
this thing unless if I got to watch the trailer for a minute or two. I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of like this. Okay, it's an hour 52, right? I'm just going to commit an hour 52 just like that. I need to watch a little. You need to like show me it's worth it.
Yes. Yeah.
So what dollar a day is when you're pulling out clips using CapShow and whatnot, or you have your show notes, you want to think of that as like a movie trailer. I'm trying to convince somebody that the thing is like, you're asking for a lot, even though it's free, you're asking somebody for 45 minutes or an hour of their time, right? Like, and if they don't know you, how do you convince them they can't get that hour back? That's an hour they could have spent sleeping or playing with their kid or doing something fun or working on their business or that's a lot to ask for an hour of someone's time.
Yes.
So what I do is I use a dollar a day as a trailer. I'll take a podcast episode and I'll summarize what some of the key points are and I'm thinking like I'm a movie producer making a trailer. I'm trying to give them enough value that they think, oh, I'm going to watch the whole movie.
Yes.
But I don't see, am I crazy, Deirdre, to think like, why don't we, us as podcast hosts, we're so busy like episode, but we need to think about the movie trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then when you have a movie trailer, what do? You boost it. So here's a post, and this is also 11%. This one did well too. So 5,536 people saw it and 589 people engaged. More than 10% of people thought it was worth it to like, share, or comment. But that also means, 87% of people didn't think it was worth engaging on. And I like to see 35% of people watch the 7 minutes on YouTube. I like to see 25% of people watch my 1 minute videos all the way through. Because if they do, that's a sign that they thought the content was worthwhile. And that's a signal that Facebook takes into account in the newsfeed. Same thing in TikTok's newsfeed and all that, the whole thing on being, engaging. I'm looking for these signals. Now I'm trying to look for one that sucked. So here's one that was maybe borderline. Okay. So a week ago, I gave the keynote speech at this conference. And you can see, I literally just picked up my phone and just recorded a walkthrough on here's how you prepare to be a speaker, right? Here's how you give a standing ovation. And I'm walking through like what you do to prepare and how you stand on the stage and all that stuff, right? So I'm literally just doing, I'm super tired, but I just go ahead and do it anyway, no preparation. And so it's a 17 minute video. I'm asking for a lot if someone's going to sit and watch this video, but let's look at the insights. And because it's video, it's going to show me a little more. So 7,000 people saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And 507 people engaged. So that's like 7.5%. So it's okay. It's not great. But then remember, 7,000 people saw it, but only 2,000 people stayed to watch for 3 seconds, which is horrendous. That's 14%. This is even worse. Only 171 people of the 7,000 stayed for 1 minute. That is terrible. But not everyone has the time to sit and watch. Maybe they bookmarked it. But if you look at the quality of these 2,000 people that watched the first part of the video, they'll say, dang, I watched the whole thing, or these are great tips. So the people that resonated here are public speakers that will say, or that are learning. Like this guy, Jeff Zelaya, he is a professional MC at conference. So if anybody knows a little something about how to perform on stage, it's going to be this guy.
It's going to be
right?
him. Yeah.
So he says, and then this guy, so it's not like all comments are worth the same, right? It's not like I'm just farming for likes. This one comment is worth more than all these other ones. Because he said, this is gold. You dropped so much wisdom in this one clip that most won't be able to synthesize. And then Steve Sims says, Dennis knows his stuff. Right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm just going through, and a few, like Joseph Ortega, this guy's a big podcaster. Carl Hitchborn, Sam DeMaio. Like, I don't want to name drop here, but you can see who these people are here, right?
Yes.
Oh, here's Justin Maxwell. So I didn't get a lot of comments. So if you're a podcast
quality,
and you don't get like millions of views, but you get a few people, like important people in the industry that say something like this, like, look at this. Look at what this guy wrote. See this whole thing he wrote? I'm going to screenshot that. And then I'm going to comment back saying, hey, thank you so much, Justin. Can I share this? And he'll say, yes, of course. And now I've gotten all these testimonials and public proof and whatever off of this one post. And if you're a podcast host, why aren't you doing that? Look, here's another one. Mike Fallot, he's the $1 million book guy, right? And I didn't ask him to write this. He said, just hire Dennis Yu to revamp our digital presence and, you know, boost his team and make sure he shows up better. He's a legend in the search. He said this, right?
Yeah.
Now, all these other people are engaging and these are big time people in his audience. And then all these other people are signing up for our program. But it all started from us being on video together. A podcast episode, for example, right? And then I can boost his post. He can boost the post. But do you see like what we're saying about boosting posts?
Yeah.
Why don't these podcasts get, you have a great person on your pod. Here I'll give you my most valuable tip for people that, you know, I was saying towards the end, and you have a reason to listen to the end. If you have someone that you want to get on your podcast and you're not a big deal and you're like, well, why would anyone want to be in my podcast? Here is the way to win almost every time. You ready? You say, hey, so-and-so, and you say something personalized and specific to show that you're not just some random bot trying to get people on the podcast. I really like the episode with Deirdre where you talked about this one thing and how you, you know, grew up with your dad or something that showed like, oh, you actually paid attention. In fact, I would love to invite you on my podcast to talk about this other thing. And I wanted to ask you a couple questions about this. And my audience is like this. And I've also had these other people who are well-known, but if you don't, that's okay. But then here's the one tip. I guarantee that our podcast episode will get at least 10,000 views because I have a process for editing and promoting the podcast to this particular audience, which is the audience that they want to be known for, which is why they get on podcasts in the first place. So if I'm with Tommy Mello, for example, who's really well known in the trades, and I've been on his podcast before, that I'm going to boost to all the people in the home services industry, which he wants to be well known in. So it's like I'm acting like a PR agent, except I'm spending my own money running dollar a day against that podcast episode. And then here's another thing. So I get invited on lots of podcasts. So what do? When someone invites me, first thing is I go look up their episodes and I see like who's been on there and I see how many views they've got if they're on YouTube and whatever. And if I see there's traction and they've been boosting on YouTube for a dollar a day, then I'm like, oh, wow, this thing got 100,000 views. Like, yeah, I'd love to be on her podcast. But if I go to the YouTube and I see it had 7 views, that's kind of lame, right?
Yeah.
So potential guests are more likely to accept if you boost your previous podcast episodes on Facebook or YouTube, because then they're going to go look you up and they're going to see it there. And they're going to see, wow, look, because most people will come to my Facebook and they'll see the engagement. Not that I have a lot of engagement, not that I have a million followers, but they see the quality of people they respect that are engaging on my posts, people in their industry. That's the whole point of dollar a day.
This is gold, and I'm mindful of time. So I'm going to wrap this up, but, OMG, Dennis, this has been amazing. I cannot wait for us to, we're going to actually implement this. We're going to do this on this
episode. Let's take the top episodes and boost them. And then let's share with everyone what the results are. And You might be surprised, but I will not be surprised by the results. And then you'll wonder why you didn't do this earlier.
It's going to be amazing. Thank you so much, Dennis. For anyone who wants to follow you, know more about what it is that you do, where can they go?
They can go to blitzmetrics.com/DAD, which is dollar a day. They can also Google me because we want to be Googleable. Follow me, YouTube, exactly. Facebook, Instagram, whatever.
Okay, so who here after watching or listening to this episode is down for implementing this with us? Because we have a treat for you. If you didn't think that this episode maybe went into the level of detail you would have liked to just get going with it, I know what you mean. I know what you mean because I was personally left hanging for more too, which is why Dennis is going to be back in the next episode too, and he's going to do it. He's going to do it with us, okay? If I've already given him a couple of posts of mine that performed pretty well, and he's going to literally implement this strategy so that you can follow along with us and do it too. Sound good? Okay, pretty cool, right? So put it in your calendar, save it, bookmark it, whatever you need to do, because you will not want to miss the next episode. My name is Deidre Shen. Stay intelligently lazy.